Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Welcome back. Eyes are very interesting, but so does the story behind eyes. And I like to research things like you may as well, and look at the history of vision. Because initially it was philosophic, and then it became scientific. We knew that the Greeks thought that vision actually exited from the eye and surrounded the object in the distance in order to capture it. So it took a while before we had enough science to reverse it. We know that primitive societies viewed eyes as a very significant item. I'm sure people always looked at people's eyes when they talked to them to see if it betrayed trust or whether it betrayed traitorism. So you don't know. The evil eye is a curse, believed to be cast by a malevolent stare, and it's usually given to a person when they're unaware. Many societies use the evil eye to cause misfortune or injury. So obviously, talismans were created to actually protect against the evil eye. And it was obvious in hieroglyphics, the sign of the RX. If you've ever seen that Egyptian sign with the R with a crossbar X, and inside the round portion of the letter R was an eye. That was protection for the evil eye. And now it is the RX symbol, which is part of all medical care. Well, evil eye caused issues even in the Old Testament. It was mentioned many times. It's also said to be mentioned in the Quran. Old cultures in Turkey, Greece, Albania, Egypt, Italy, the Levant, Afghanistan, all have popular choices of souvenirs to block the evil eye. So, the spreading of the evil eye was an easy one because it was something that was magical with people who didn't know. And so the moral of the story is, when you don't know, you're afraid of it. We also knew back from Hammurabi. Hammurabi was best known as the most important king of Mesopotamia and ruled Babylonia from 1792 to 1750 BC. And as his kingdom expanded, he expounded a number of laws, and one of which was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, it means more than just a harsh sentence of justice. It was actually part of a longer code. But it was the concept is that if you injured somebody, you got injured back. The history of vision requires greater detail because we needed glass. We needed the recognition that glass could be formed because we could before we could see with telescopes and microscopes. We needed a gradual understanding of anatomy. We had to figure out how the eye was connected to the brain, how the eye was made up of different components. We needed the study of optics. Somehow mathematics was available since the time of Euclid and probably before. So we were a little early in the optics. We needed the printing press. Therefore, we would be more interested in seeing and could actually start testing people with different sized objects. All of this started around 1600 when we started to fuse the science, the art, the intelligence. If you consider Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew in 1604, you had to know that the shrew, anatomically, was a malevolent little guy that was eating all the time and was an annoyance to the microbiotic society. Scurvy was found between 1754 and 1774. So it took a long time before people knew vitamin deficiency. So it was like 1600 when Johannes Kepler started looking at mathematical tradition and perspectives and started looking at ocular anatomy. And other people around the same time started looking about how coherent light could give you an image in the eye. It had long been recognized that if rays crossed within the eye, resulting the image would be reversed and inverted. This was a confusing thing to people because if it's upside down in your eye, why don't we see the world upside down? Well, the answer, of course, is it gets re-straightened when it gets reflected back on the brain because things are twisted in the brain, just like things you see on the outside of your vision go to the inner retina. So everything is a little backwards. It took a while before we knew that there was wavelengths and pulses of waves. We knew Galileo was the guy who looked at the sky through the first telescope. So he started putting glass together to magnify. And Kepler started figuring out about myopia, why nearsighted people are different than farsighted. 1619, accommodation, meaning how people can focus, was calculated. So little by little, these mathematicians probably had not much else to do, looked at these different laws of nature, the optical laws, the corpuscular theory of life, as discussed by Descartes, who was a most interesting person. And 1644, a guy named Willis found that the optic nerves went to the thalamus after crossing. Newton used prisms, experimenting with color, breaking it up, putting it back together. So little by little, we're putting together all of these items. 1675, the speed of light was measured. I mean, that's fascinating when they didn't have the same device as we did, and that the speed of light is so fast, it's hard to calculate. A few years later, retinal fibers were discovered. Then, trichromatic human vision, meaning three-color human vision, was figured. And the blind spot, that we all have a blind spot, and it's normal. 1684, a major jump was Leeuwenhoek, created a microscope. So you could see what was very small. Then you could dissect things, etc. Night blindness, polarization, the circulation of blood vessels. All of this slowly was discovered around 1700. Color blindness, infrared, occipital cortex. But a major jump finally came with a telescope or microscope mounted in front of a patient so you could actually look in the eye and measure the eye. That is called the slit lamp. In 1911, was discovered and used. All of a sudden, we can put together all that we knew about circulation, circuitry, optics, look in the eye, get a response from the person, see whether they had color vision, see whether they could see near, because we put together all of the science throughout the ages. I mean, it took a long time to know about electromagnetic radiation and that we can only see certain wavelengths. Well, there's still many times types of vision that we as ophthalmologists and eye doctors can talk about because all of vision is not the same. We have depth perception. We have distance vision. We measure distance vision by both a chart and contrast sensitivity. There's near vision, accommodation, color, hand eye, the third eye. Hypnosis comes from the third eye. That's how you hypnotize somebody through the eye in order to go to the next level. So the moral of the story is vision did not happen at once. Science does not advance at once. It takes many different modalities to figure it out and put it all together. So I appreciate your sharing this journey with me. There's much more in there, and we'll try and bring it to you. This is Rob Abel, The Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any other segments, visit my show page, RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Stay well, see well.